Hi, I'm Tiffany, and welcome to the 12 Days of Tomfoolery. We're actually doing our Christmas segment. So it will be 12 days back to back of Christmas content. And we will choose how that goes. We're doing some creepy stuff, some fun stuff, some gone wild. Where did that come from stuff? We're going to have a lot of fun. So say hi to the people, Kate.
Hello.
Hello. Ho, ho.
Okay, you know what? That pisses me off. Wow. Wow. I just got Zuckerberged by you. Okay, just to start off, we were talking about how we would intro this. And I was like, maybe I'll say, ho, ho, ho. And Tiffany goes, no. Like, kill yourself. That's not okay. And then you just stole it from me, you Zuckerberg. Wow. Okay. Whew. Okay, well, we're starting off on a very salty note. I can't believe you just did that.
I think I just got nervous and said what you said, and then I stole it.
You stole it after you berated me.
I know. Okay, so I actually did give her a whole time. I was like, oh my God, don't do that. Ew, it's cringe.
Yes. I cannot believe that you just slid in there. Hell, ho, ho, ho. Oh, wow. Okay, well. Wow. Okay.
I had the audacity of a man. I'm so sorry.
You did have the audacity of a man.
Ew.
Okay. Well, apologies. I'm over it. Am I? No, I am.
No, I wouldn't be. Good for you.
Yeah, you're a Scorpio.
I would secretly tuck that away.
The rest of your life.
I would. Yeah. I would tuck it away. I'd be like, this bitch has no idea what's coming her way.
Yeah, right. Revenge is my mistress. No, I can let it go. I can let it slide. I'm a mutable sign. But yes, we are the 12 days of tomfoolery, the 12 days of Christmas. We're super excited about this. It's just going to be little episodes. It's going to be, a little fun, some creepy content, some fun content, some weird content. But the way we're going to structure it is for the 12 days, we are going to, Tiffany's going to do some loosely related stuff, just some fun facts. And then I am going to come in with a couple little parables that relate to the houses of astrology, since there are 12 houses. So for this first episode, we are going to be focusing on, as the first house does, the origins of self, appearance, who Christmas actually is, how Christmas came into the world. And we will continue through the zodiac for the next 12 days through the same pattern. Next episode up is Taurus, on and on and on. We'll get more into that, but we're going to structure this. Tiffany is going to give us our fun facts. I'm going to have, it's going to be like a sandwich. Tiffany's the bread. I'm going to be the meat. We gotta make it into a sandwich parable, right? God, I could go for a hoagie right now. Meatball sub. Mm.
Water burger. Thanks.
Oh, don't get us on the water. Yes. Yeah. You're right. You cannot.
I'm the devil.
You keep putting the knives in. I was just like, I want water burger so bad. You know what? We're going to talk about this after the episode. I'm pissed at you. I'm pissed.
Oh no!
But no, it should just
don't hit
it should
me
just
with
be
your shtick.
I won't. Not this time. Maybe another episode. But it's just going to be fun and a little chaotic,
light and breezy, and chaotic like normal. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, like normal. So let's get started, Tiffany. What are your first fun facts about Christmas? Let's get this party started.
We are going to get this party started, but I'm also going to slow it down and let everyone know I do not need this Virgo attitude coming for me. I'm just going to keep it light and breezy. But if you would like to request a more full and in-depth look
Virgo attitude,
your things, yes, you've got me triggered, girl. I'm going to hit you.
You've got me triggered too.
I'm going to with my little squirt gun. Yeah. So if you have something to say, definitely don't DM me. Just say it with your full chest. Go to the page or request on the full page so everyone can see, because we need the interaction. Thanks so much. So
if you want
a little more in-depth stuff, let me know. We'll revisit it, and that's no big deal. But we're going to keep it light and breezy. I'm not going to make you wait for day 12. I know everyone, once you start talking about creepy Christmas and weird stuff, they are ready for Krampus. And I'm not going to make
you
wait. Let's just talk about
it. Can I just Can I just insert this joke real quick? You said easy breezy.
Yes. Easy breezy.
And since you stole my bad pun, I need to make another one.
I did.
Instead of easy breezy, beautiful cover girl, easy breezy, beautiful Christmas girl. That's how we're doing this shit.
God, I felt snowflake. Felt them.
Me too. I felt the magic of Christmas in my veins. Mm. All right, let's go. Krampus. I'm into it.
So I assume, rightly or wrongly, I don't know. Most people do know about Krampus, though. He's our little anthropomorphic goat boy, daddy, fun guy coming to... Hey, I get to
talk dirty to me.
I have whatever point of view I want. It's my show.
Yes, you do. Monster fucker. I love it.
If you didn't want me to be a monster fucker, the Disney classic Beauty and the Beast shouldn't have been right there in my face in the early 90s.
100%. Sorry. Solid argument. Back
into a prince, and I went, less into it. So, Krampus.
Yeah.
Seamless segue.
Not so, as sexy. I love it.
Okay. So,
yeah.
A lot of people kind of compare him to being like the darkness to Santa's light. Pardon me.
The duality of life.
Oh, yes. Light and the dark. Oh, man. The duality. Man.
Yeah. Binary. I love it.
So his day is actually December 5th. Unfortunately, we're doing the 12 Days of Tomfoolery, which is going to have to start before our very Christianized version of the winter solstice and all the things that happened therein. December 5th is Krampusnacht, the night of Krampus, when he arrived.
Did you say Krampusnacht?
Yes. That's the joke.
Oh, it's amazing.
Krampus. So yes. It precedes the feast of St. Nicholas, so Santa Claus. And they were buddies. He would come the night prior to the feast of St. Nicholas to take naughty children and beating them with birch wood. And if you're from the South like I am, you're just used to a little harder discipline. So pick a switch. Apparently in Germany, Germany or Austria is birch wood. And yep. In the worst versions, he drags you to hell. So, I mean, I'll take the birch wood.
Oh, shit. Wow, I'm a softie. I'm like a Midwest girl. I only got spanked once when I ran across the street. And it was because my dad was like, you're never running across the street again. I'm spanking you. It's the only time I was spanked. I'm soft.
Yeah, can't relate. I had several. So, so his origin is actually in Norse mythology. He is the son of Hel. So Hela in Marvel, who is the goddess of the underworld. That makes him the grandson of Loki. So in actual Norse mythology, he is...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry to interrupt. Dad. Are you using Marvel movies as traditional canon? Yes, and I will
continue to do so until I'm dead. So live with it. I love Marvel, so but that's... I don't care. Hela. I mean, it was the whole plot of one of the Thor movies, which was awesome and richly based in Norse mythology.
Traditional canon, but I'm into it. Keep going, girl.
So canon for the comic is different. It is she is his daughter. In the movies, she is his sister, and that creates that little power switch dynamic problem. We're not going to get into that because this is not a Marvel podcast, unfortunately.
Yeah, this sounds like a Pornhub thumbnail to me right now.
Yeah, if it's popular, they did it, so makes sense.
Yeah.
But she is goddess of the underworld, which makes Krampus is Loki's grandson.
Love it.
So Krampus's name is derived from the German word Krampen. Is that correct? I have no idea. If you don't think it is, tell me about it on the Facebook page. Which means
I don't know. It gave me a little thrill when you said it though. Yeah.
So
Krampen, yeah.
Ooh, Krampen. Yeah.
Cooey is humming.
We are not doing that right now.
No, we're not. We're not. I'm just saying. It's humming.
But we will soon. Oh, gosh.
For sure. God, I love a little tension. Let's do it.
Krampen, meaning claw. And instead, we just covered that he's the son of Hela in Norse mythology. So the legendary beast also shares characteristics with other scary and demonic creatures in mythology, like satyrs and fauns. I don't really find them scary. I think that was kind of like a funny comparison for this article.
Okay, Scorpio. But other people do. You're a Scorpio, so.
Okay, I guess. But satyrs and fauns are, just really kind of laid back and cute. Be real. Like, I'm a spooky ass bitch, but they're laid back. They just want to play their little lutes and their little like wind instruments and live their life and drink wine. They're fine.
Oh, this remind we need to do a D&D campaign, speaking of, but yes, continue.
So Compass is the person who comes to punish the children. He comes and he brings his birch sticks, gives them a little smacky smack. There you go. This thing has taken off the rails in Europe, and I am so, so glad. And it's actually gotten a little foothold in the US as well. People are celebrating it. They're doing it. They're dressing up in these anthropomorphic goat outfits to emulate Krampus. And I just think it's a ton of fun. There's actually like a really fun little fact. So, I have two little notebooks that I was writing in. So please forgive. There's actually something called Krampus bread. So if you want to get him away, I was following this woman who is a folklore major on TikTok, and she posts the funniest, awesome stuff. I'll post some things on the page. But it's really
definitely
cool.
Let me know that.
Oh, she is awesome. But she mentioned something called Krampus bread. And I'm going to say it the Kristoff way. And if you don't like it, complain about it on the page. Thanks so much. Which is made with the essence of sweat and burning souls. So... You know, just like every cooking show, if you can't buy organic.
It's me at the gym. Yeah. The essence of sweat and burning souls, that's me at the gym.
Yes. Or Malort, whatever whatever you want to think it is.
Same.
But if you can't get if you can't get these organic, locally sourced items from hell, anise and black licorice is apparently acceptable. And also works as a deterrent. So there you go. A lot of fun steeped in Austrian and Alpine European culture.
I love it.
If you want to know more, you gotta request it. I'm not gonna waste all of our time on this. We got some cool stuff Kate's gonna say too.
I will just say real quickly, I'm gonna tag my friend, my beautiful, lovely, amazing friend, Stacy, in this podcast because
she's always posting.
Yeah. And I actually haven't texted her about this yet. But I need to know. She went – it stopped in the past couple of days. But for like 10 days, she was posting stuff on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, you texted me about it.
Krampus is my boyfriend.
Yes!
Yeah. And I want to be very clear right now. I'm not making fun of her at all. I think it's hilarious. But I also am like, but why? And I haven't texted her directly. But I will tag her in this episode, and I would love to know why Krampus is her boyfriend. I love when people do off the rails things, and this was a little off the rails. She kept posting about Krampus.
Fun
which
sidebar
filled my heart with joy.
Before we get completely off this, there actually is a Lady Krampus. So it got popular, I believe, during commercialization of this when like. Because this is all starting around 1800s, 1900s. And then you've got like the postcard.
Is this like Mrs. Claus, but Mrs. Krampus?
No. It's just Krampus, but a woman. So it's just, this is super fast. So she's got that classic like 1940s devil goatee, but like a nice.
Classic.
You know what I'm talking about, the cartoony shit. And then like little corset and the thing. And she has the same little basket that Krampus carries to put the naughty children in. But she's putting in naughty men and then beating him with her little birch sticks. And I will post this image. I will be posting this image on the Facebook for everyone to see. Because it's like a classic greeting card. It's hilarious.
Yeah, you buried the lead on that one. Lady Krampus, who puts bad... Oh my God, Tiffany. So many arguments after this episode. I'm so mad at you. That's amazing, though. It's amazing. All right. So that is amazing. Thank you for the Krampus material. I'm definitely going to... Stacey, I love you. Have Stacey weigh in her input on this because she is in, apparently, a committed relationship with Krampus. Krampus is my boyfriend. Can't wait to know what that's all about.
Mad respect.
All right. So we're going to get mad respect. We are going to get into the first house, Aries, which in astrology is the self. It's how we come into the world. It's the way we look. It's who we are. It's how we greet the world. It is our ego. It's how we form, right? So we're going to get into the origins of Christmas. all of the research I've done so far has been really interesting and intriguing because I realize I did not know that much about Christmas. And I feel like a lot of people don't because it's really wild. So I'm going to try and go through this pretty quick, pretty right. bullet point. But the origins of Christmas, it's not what you think. Spoiler alert.
So excited.
Not what you think. Yeah. Yeah. So first of all, and this blew my mind. Didn't blow my mind, but hey, Christians, something that's going to be tough for you to swallow. Jesus, not so much born on December 25th. Really, this holiday has kind of nothing to do with Jesus, which is pretty wild for me. I'm not even religious, right. but I always thought it was a Jesus thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, but it's not so much. So the origins of Christmas stem both from pagan and Roman traditions. The Romans celebrated two separate holidays right around Christmas. The first was, hey, we're about to talk a little astrology. It's more it's the chicken or the egg, right? Saturnalia. So Saturn is named after the god Saturn.
Yes.
And Saturn was, yeah, yeah. Saturn was the god of agriculture. So Saturnalia was in Roman times, this 2-week festival honoring Saturn, the god of their agriculture. And on December 25th, they celebrated the birth of their sun god, Mirtha, which is not the sexiest name, right? Mirtha kind of sounds like Bertha, but Mirtha,
not so
which
much.
Myrrh, frankincense, mirth, you know, I don't know, joy from that. And also concurrently, back in those times, the pagans would celebrate the solstice, the winter solstice on December 21st. And they would light bonfires and candles to keep the darkness, because the solstice is the darkest day of the year, at bay. And the Romans incorporated that into their Saturnalia 2-week festival. And I love that the thing that incorporated both of them was both celebrations were raucous, drunken parties. So Christmas actually started as basically a frat party, which I love. I love it so much.
Super here for it.
So, right? I'm here for it. As Christianity spread, as the multi-theistic kind of view was, they were putting the stop to it.
Kibosh.
The clergy of this, the kibosh. Yeah.
Monotheistic only.
Right, right. Yeah. So as Christianity becomes a thing, the clergy in this new religion were not able to curb these pagan traditions, to curb these multi-theistic celebrations that were going on. So you know what? If you can't beat them, what do? You join them, right? So nobody knew when Jesus was actually born. It was kind of like a, who knows? I don't know. So they folded it in, as you do ingredients into a cake, into, they were like, all right, well, everyone's celebrating. Everyone's having a good time. We need to promote our guy, J-Dog. Let's just say Christmas. Well, it wasn't Christmas then, but let's just put his birthday December 25th. Which is so wild to me. So that's how it started. It started because the clergy, this new Christian component, was like, oh no, we got to stop this. We got to cut it down. So that is like how that all began, which is wild to me. So right. then the mythology of Santa Claus, of old Saint Nick, started in 280 AD. Based on a real person, Saint Nicholas, who was born in Turkey. He was a bishop in the early Christian church, and he later was persecuted and imprisoned for his faith. He came from a really wealthy family. He was a really well-to-do guy, but became quite religious. And he was, this is one of the good guys, right? Like Saint Nick actually is, he's one of the good guys. He's no Marjorie Taylor Greene Christian. He's a good guy. He was very generous to the poor and the disenfranchised. He loved to give his wealth away. He loved to help, which is the root of like actual real Christian. I'm not religious, but you know, the real roots of what it should be, helping others. There's many, many tales and lore about him, but the one that I found the most intriguing and the most famous one is that he saved three daughters from being sold into slavery.
Oh my goodness.
Because back in the day, you had to be rich. Yeah, no, this is a true story. You had to be rich. And for that, when you would marry your daughter off, there had to be a dowry. So, you know, back in the day, women were, who cares? Just got to get rid of them. If you can't sell them off with a dowry, you got to sell them into slavery, I guess. So Saint Nick heard about this, or Nicholas at the time.
I'm so sorry. Sidebar. It's gold. Like, I'm so sorry. It's like, sorry, this isn't a good investment. We're just going to have to do a fire sale. You're a slave now. I'm sorry. We got to do it.
That's a yeah. It's 100% what it's like. Yes. Yeah. Going out of business.
I can't.
That was what it was like.
So sorry I interrupted you, but I was just like, my brain.
No, it's fine. No wonder the dark feminine is coming back. No wonder the intuition side of our duality is pissed and is like, oh, it's time to take over the patriarchy. Yeah, because of this kind of shit. So Saint Nick would walk past and he would toss gold, which at the time was like, you know, a bajillion dollars. Don't quote me on that. I'm not an economist, but it was a lot of money.
He was making it rain. It hail.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not an exchange expert, but he would toss gold through the window. And the first time he did it for the first daughter, the gold landed in a sock that was drying by the fire, hence the Christmas stockings. Right. And he did it three times for all these daughters. So these daughters didn't have to be sold into slavery. Word got around town, and then all sorts of kids would start hanging socks by the fire. Parents would hang them to hope that Saint Nick would come and bless them. He died on December 6th. This is confirmed. And that is Saint Nicholas Day, which my mom is pretty Catholic.
Okay.
I was not raised any kind of religion, but I do remember we would do something on December 6th. I don't remember what, but I think it still is like an important day, within Catholicism or Christianity, because December 6th does stick out in my mind. And I think we would do like kind of something.
I don't know. I wasn't Catholic, but just to that was the feast of
I wasn't either.
Christopher. So I love that our stuff just accidentally is matching up. Not discussed this beforehand.
Yeah, no, we didn't. But December 6th was definitely something. I don't really remember what. And then just to go through quickly, the Saint Nick, Santa Claus kind of legend, you know, his birth story. In Switzerland and Germany, he was called Christkind, Christ Kringle, which means Christ child. I can't read what I wrote. So we're just going to forget that. Just take that little note.
Don't remember
what else is there. Jutomen, I really like that word. Jutomen was a happy elf that delivered gifts via a sleigh. Mm-hmm. Drawn by goats. So maybe it wasn't reindeer at first. At first it was goats. Maybe Krampus was part of the OG sleigh squad.
No, but he wasn't a goat. He is an anthropomorphic demon entity. He's not really okay. Demon, so check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Just schooled me on that.
Boom.
But no, he wasn't really a goat. Okay. Okay, sorry, my bad. In Belgium, they called him Sinterklaas.
Oh, which is no. Yes.
Short for Nicholas.
I may be talking about and the then, episode.
Oh, perfect. Then when all these immigrants come over to America, the Puritans say no thank you to all this shit. They're like, uh-uh,
they say no,
I don't
thank
want
you
your,
a lot.
Your demons. Yeah. And they said no thank you to Christmas in general. They were like, no thanks. We don't like any of these.
Not for us.
Saturnalia, any of this pagan stuff. It's not for us,
ooh,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So Christmas was like a no-go in America from like 1600 until about 1800. But then as more immigrants came over to the States, they all came and continued their traditions, which were very prolific across Europe. The Dutch brought the Sinterklaas to New York in the 1600s. In the early 1800s, more immigrants would come, all bringing in their traditions. In the early 1800s, Washington Irving, who was a prolific writer, wrote a series of stories based on a real thing of a wealthy landowner who would invite workers over to dinner to his like big mansion.
Ooh.
And disenfranchised people, poor people, all these people over to his house right around Christmas. And Washington Irving thought that this was this beautiful tradition and he really, really liked it. So he wrote a story about it and it kind of took hold within the community. So people were like, oh, maybe we should start doing that too. It's cold. We should bring people in. So that was kind of like a beginning of it. And then in 1822, Clement Moore wrote The Night Before Christmas, which was the poem for his kids, where he kind of – this is kind of the birth of Santa Claus as we know it. He kind of made him a little more fun, a little more playful. He created the whole like jolly Santa Claus archetype. So that is kind of how Santa Claus, as we know it, was born. Then there's a lot of like, did it, did not? How did Santa Claus become a thing in 1881? In 1863, Harper's Weekly Bazaar publishes the first illustration of Saint Nick, quote unquote, by Thomas Nast. And he was wearing a Stars and Stripes outfit. So I guess this was like July 4th.
Oh my God.
Meets Christmas. Right? I know. And then year after year, he kept getting bigger, fatter, more jolly. And then they put him in the red and the green, which people harken back to actual St. Nicholas, who would wear these red robes with green trim.
Signature
but
color.
But Coke actually... Yeah, Coca-Cola was a big part of it because they did hire him to like create this archetype of Saint Nicholas. And there's like a little bit of back and forth about that because they're like, did Coke really start Saint Nicholas or did he not? I'm not an expert on this. I've read yes, he did, yes, he didn't. But basically – Santa Claus is a amalgamation of a lot of ancient traditions, a lot of capitalist things, and a little bit of people trying to do good and a little bit of people trying to make money. So that's how our dude SC, Santa Claus, came to fruition. First house, ascendant, boom. Tiffany, what is your next
and
little
final
Christmas
little nugget?
Next
nugget. And final.
Oh, I want a chicken nugget so bad.
Soon.
I do. I want one. Yeah.
So
soon, baby.
But,
soon.
not to be so flirty with you, but why do we kiss under the mistletoe? Let's talk about it super quick.
I don't know. Please tell me.
I will.
Love it.
So kissing under sprigs of mistletoe is well known as a holiday tradition. But it has a little more to it. It has a history, little symbolic things about the herb dates back thousands and thousands, or maybe just thousands of years. I could be just being embellished. Shocker. I'm a little dramatic.
Thousands and thousands and thousands. Actually, it was like 15 years ago.
No, I know. I was like, wait, I think I'm getting a little too much.
I love it. I love it.
So anyway.
It is better. Size matters.
Moving on.
Embellish it, babe.
The Greeks were known to use it as a cure for everything, from menstrual cramps to spleen disorders, which, okay.
Wow.
And the Romans naturally used it as some healing properties as well. They used it as a balm against epilepsy and ulcers and poisons. But the plant's romantic overtones mostly started with the Celtic Druids around the first century because mistletoe could blossom all year round. So even during the frozen winter, they came to use it like a
just like love. Symbol. Did you hear my romantic thing? Just like
I
love.
Did.
I did. And I ignored it. You psycho.
It was beautiful. Anyway, so it's a sacred symbol of vivacity. And they administered it to humans and animals alike in hopes of restoring fertility.
Wow.
So
that's why you like it. It's a monster fucker, humans and animals alike. And then werewolves started fucking women.
I mean, you're making a little bit of a leap, but sure.
Not that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so another... famous chapter in this, and I really want to talk about this really quick so I can tie it all together, is mistletoe folklore comes from Norse mythology. So the story goes that when the god Odin's son, Balder, was prophesied to die, his mother Frigg, the goddess of love, went to all the animals and plants of the natural world to secure an oath that would not harm him. But Frigg neglected to consult the unassuming mistletoe. So the scheming god, here we go, tie-in, Loki, made an arrow from the plant and saw that it was used to kill the otherwise invincible Baldur. So according to one of the sunnier versions, the myth, and the gods were able to resurrect him from the dead, but the delighted Frigg then declared mistletoe a symbol of love and vowed to plant a kiss on all of those who passed beneath it.
Oh, I love that.
So, super cute.
Oh, that warms my little heart. I love it. That's great.
Yeah, we don't promise this for every episode. I doubt we're going to always have love and light at the end, but we're glad we could
now. Oh, no, for sure, no.
House.
We're coming in with love and light. For sure, no. There's going to be some weird stuff coming. But there's going to be so much good stuff coming. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
We're really excited to spend every day with you all the way till Christmas. We're pumped.
Yeah. Are you excited to spend it with us?
Crickets. I mean, okay.
I love that pregnant pause. That pregnant pause. It's like, no.
Well, I guess we'll see when we look at the tally of people who listened.
Yes, you better listen. Better listen if you want some presents in your stocking and not coal. Yeah.
And also the contest is still going on.
The contest is still going on. Yeah. And I'll post about that more. But I think we can wrap it up now. Yeah,
let's
right?
Let's wrap it up. Do you have some cute little Christmas thing to put at the end after I stole your thunder at the beginning?
No, you stole it already.
I did.
And then I made another
piece of shit.
I made another cute pun. Yeah, you are. Oh my God. And I didn't even Virgo you this episode. I've been such a well-behaved.
I gaslit you before the episode.
You did. You gaslit the fuck out of me. You know what, Santa? I hope you're listening because I've been a very good girl and I deserve a lot of good presents. Tiffany, give her coal. That's how I think we should end it. Boom.
Joke's on you. I'm out of eyeliner.
Yeah, right? Coal eyeliner. Ooh, we can get it. Okay. Gonna get unhinged. I could talk about coal eyeliner and Cleopatra for a long time, but I won't. Not today.
Bring it up again and we will do it in the new year because the rest of the year is actually planned out.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I think it's time that we say goodbye. We love you guys so much. But Kate, since I stole your thunder earlier, do you have something to say to the people for our Christmas ending?
Yeah. Bye. Don't let... Yeah, you upstood me again, but yeah, I do. Goodbye. Don't let Krampus make you cry. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.